Hello and welcome to Bureau Bites, a regular pod bite bringing you news from Vietnam and the region. I'm Matt Cowan, the Bureau Chief and your host. Thank you for joining me for this quick bite. Well, Singapore has been widely praised internationally for its efforts in containing COVID-19, managing to minimise fatalities to 2 as of March 25. While the island state's fight against a virus that has killed almost 19,000 people worldwide is the envy of nations around the world, an announcement by the Singaporean government this week has given cause for concern. It has announced that in the past 48 hours, the number of COVID-19 cases has doubled from 266 to 558, prompting the government to tell Singaporeans to prepare for an expected surge in numbers. The top three sources of importation are reported to be the UK, the US, and Indonesia. Cause for further concern is that it's believed there are still some 200,000 Singaporeans overseas yet to return home. Still, Singapore's strategy remains to slow daily infection rates and to maintain them at a low level for as long as possible. In addition to implementing stringent safe distancing measures among other strategies to flatten the curve, Singapore has been tracing up to 4,000 contacts per day and plans to scale up its tracing capacity as needed. This comes as the launch of Trace Together, a phone app that can identify people who have been within 2 metres of someone with coronavirus, saw 620,000 people in Singapore install it. Meanwhile, those working in the entertainment and creative industries in Singapore have been hit hard by the virus outbreak, with most losing contracts and the prospect of securing new ones unlikely for the foreseeable future. In order to find out more about the situation in Singapore, I spoke to Singaporean actor, host, model, environmental activist and Netflix Singapore social star, Paul Foster. Paul, thank you for joining Bureau Bites.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
How are things in Singapore at the moment?
Not too bad, actually. I mean, I think if you look at the world right now, everyone's struggling and suffering. Singapore actually had it under control quite well. And we still kind of do, again, in the global perspective. But when the travel advisory kicked in and a lot of people were scrambling to come home, we had a lot of imported cases, mainly from Europe and the US, unfortunately. So we've seen a bit of a spike, and our numbers have doubled in the last week. So it's just going to be like that now for a while, I think, with people coming back. And it goes to show you that, you know, COVID-19 has been spreading for quite a while everywhere, and just people and countries that were a little bit complacent and weren't testing didn't know who was really infected. And with travel nowadays, it's just so easy for things to spread. So a few more safety measures in place in Singapore. All entertainment venues will be closed from the 27th. Of March till the end of April. No more gatherings of more than 10 people outside. And of course, the encouragement of social distancing and stay home and all that stuff with your general hygiene of washing your hands and not touching your face coming into play a lot more now.
And how have you been spending your time since the COVID-19 crisis started?
But for us in the entertainment industry, I mean, I basically lost my Q1 of work in February. So once we knew that this was starting to kind of spread a little bit, you know, the government was like, all right, canceling all events. But clients as well were being very careful because it's a very sensitive client. And they were like, okay, well, I have to be responsible. So, you know, a lot of my work was canceled, a lot of my hosting gigs in particular. But to kind of pivot and reallocate budgets and re-engage clients to kind of repropose new ideas, mainly on the digital front, mainly online, social media, anything digital to kind of just keep their brand awareness going, to still promote what we can when we can. Again, in a very sensitive manner, but also in a real, genuine and you know, kind of what's happening now, relevant moments now, and then to keep things going. So I've been lucky that I've had a lot of clients who accepted my re-proposals, and I've managed to, again, kind of pivot more towards the digital side of things and focus on that for the time being. And I think that's just happening across the board right now. So I think we've still got a few more months ahead of us of some real tough times here in Singapore. But now it's definitely a global shift, and we won't know what's going to happen now for, I think, almost the rest of the year, unfortunately.
Singapore has been widely praised internationally for its efforts in containing the virus. What is it about Singapore? And I guess, what is it about Singaporeans' ability to simply get things done?
Well, that's a great question, Matt. You're right. No, Singapore, you know, along with South Korea, Hong Kong, and Taiwan, I think these four nations in particular, especially on the onset of COVID-19, worked very fast, very diligently in containing the initial surge, and not letting it get out of hand too fast. Because once that happens, you know, your infrastructure and your health systems and your society, everything just crumbles. Everything gets overloaded. So Singapore has a few advantages. One, we are a small country. Two, we don't have that many borders. You know, we only have the airport, the two causeways, and some of our ports. So in terms of restricting the ins and outs, that's also much easier. We also have a very, very good health infrastructure here. Singapore learned the hard way when SARS hit in 2002. And I think they developed a lot of systems so that we would be able to deal with a virus if we were to get hit again. So I think they learned a lot from that last time. And obviously the quarantine and self-isolation, stay-at-home orders have been enforced very strictly here. You know, they check on people every day, phone calls, video calls, GPS. And that also then relates to the tracing. So Singapore have been amazing with their tracing capabilities, kind of finding who were infected and who may have come into close proximity with that person. So I think Singapore are very, very good at doing that from a governance level. Singaporeans, I heard a funny quote from the BBC on one of their reports that said it's easy to do all this policing and tracing and quarantining in Singapore because when the government says something, you know, Singaporeans will damn well do it, basically, because they're so scared of the consequences if you don't follow the rules here. To a certain extent, yes, I guess that could be taken correctly. But you know what? At the end of the day, any government anywhere can be putting in any safety measures and imposing any regulations, but it's still up to the everyday person and society to be socially responsible. It's a real big international problem now. And we have 200,000 Singaporeans or residents still wanting to return back to Singapore. So in the coming weeks, I think it's going to be tough. New measures are being put in every day or every other day. So when these people come in, they have to go straight to a hotel and straight into 14-day isolation. The government taking care of all that. They will provide transport straight from the airport to the hotel, and they're trying to contain everyone as much as possible. So again, very easy, very efficient to do in a country like Singapore, which I know a lot of other countries just don't have the advantage of that, the benefit of doing. So I feel very lucky to be living in Singapore at this current moment.
You're also passionate about saving the environment. What environmental projects are you currently involved in?
Yeah, I've got a few on the go at the moment, Matt. I'm helping out WWF Singapore to host Earth Hour, which is on the 28th of March. We've had to obviously, you know, cancel the event. It used to be a 3-day event, so it's now all online, all digital. We're going to be on YouTube, you know, streaming it so people can watch in. We're going to get performers tuning in on Zoom, and they're performing from home, live and unplugged. And I also have just started my own initiative, All Clear, and that's my personal fight against plastics, especially single-use plastics that, you know, unfortunately, inevitably end up in our water, in our rivers, and in our oceans. So we have got access to vessels to go out and actually clean hot spots. And, you know, the company that we've come under, TSS Tiensen Shipping, they've been doing this in Singapore for 20 years as a government contract. So we have the expertise, the knowledge, the machinery and the procurement to do this already, but we want to expand what we already do in Singapore to the rest of the world, especially Asia. We've got, you know, a lot of major rivers in our region that are the most polluted. If I'm not wrong and my stats are correct, it's something like, you know, 60% of all the world's kind of waste and plastic in particular comes from our rivers in Asia. It's quite a significant stat there. And we realize that this is a problem that needs to be fixed. So we want to get out there and try to fix this problem with what we have already in our arsenal. And that's mainly our vessels, our boats that can go out into the water and do it. So obviously we've had to put things on a back burner with the current situation, but we are still able to get out to Indonesia, to the Philippines, hopefully over to Vietnam as well. I'm still looking for a contact in Vietnam. So if you know of anyone there to connect us with, I'd appreciate that. And of course, Malaysia. So these are the four countries we want to kind of target early. I'm still supporting Timberland a lot as well. Timberland and Espresso, two of my wonderful clients who are very big advocates for recycling. And it's these corporates and brands like that we need to actually support and champion because they're starting to do the right things, or they have been doing the right things for a while now. So I'm really happy to be connected to real partners who are doing their part as well.
And finally, Paul, congratulations on the Netflix series Singapore Social. Are we going to see a season 2?
That is the burning question from a lot of lips. Season 1 was fantastic. Yeah, thanks for your support as well. And it was really fun to do. It was really nice to share a bit of about my life to the world, and of course about Singapore to the global audience as well. But at the moment, there are no, there is no confirmation that there is going to be a season 2. We've been told to stay on hold. Now, all I can say is, with a lot of people staying home now and you know, binging on Netflix, tell you what, if everyone could just jump on and watch Singapore Social again, or if you haven't yet, for the first time at least, that might get the numbers up and we might get a season 2 a lot faster or sooner than we think.
That was Singapore Social star Paul Foster in Singapore. Well, that's all for this Bureau Bite. If you liked what you heard, please review the Bureau podcast wherever you get your podcasts. This has been Matt Cowan. Until our next Pod Bite, keep up to date with what's happening in Vietnam and the region by going to thebureauasia.com and visiting Facebook and Instagram at The Bureau Asia.